All right, we have an opportunity to sit down with a legend. Man, we brought him out of semi-retirement, and it is definitely going down like this with Mr. Miguel Paredes. All right, so right now we have a Soul Rebel, a KPFK veteran, Sonali Cole Hot Car. Sonali Cole Hot Car. This is from the famed Uprising with Sonali. As a matter of fact, I want to take the time to read her bio right here. Sonali is the host and the creator of Rising Up with Sonali, a weekly one-hour television and radio programming covering news and politics, built on the foundation of her show Uprising, which became the longest-running drive time radio show in Los Angeles, hosted by a woman. That's right. Rising Up with Sonali airs on Pacifica stations, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, California, and on dozens of community radio stations, as well as Free Speech TV on the Dish Network, DirecTV, Roku, Sling TV. Sonali is the racial justice editor at Yes Magazine and a writer, writing fellow and senior correspondent for the Independent Media Institute's Economy for All Project, where she writes a nationally syndicated weekly column about economic justice. This is Sonali Hot Cart right here with Miguel Paredes.
Good evening and welcome to Soul Rebel Radio. Today we have a very special guest with us, actually somebody who is very near and dear to Soul Rebel Radio here at KPFK. I'd like to introduce Sonali Kodhatkar, a former KPFK producer, programmer, journalist extraordinaire. She recently wrote a book called Rising Up, The Power of Narrative in Pursuing Racial Justice. And I wanted to say, first of all, welcome and congratulations on your book. And I wanted to see if you can introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about your own narrative journey on the path to rising up.
Thank you so much, Miguel. It's so lovely to be with you. You know, I cut my teeth, my journalist teeth at KPFK, started out in 2002 as a broadcaster. You know, my show went through various iterations over the years. And up until 2021, I was actually, you know, employed at KPFK, working as a programmer, as you said. And then I wanted to move more into print journalism. So I now work as the racial justice editor at Yes Magazine, although I still continue to do my show as a weekly version that airs on KPFK and lots of other stations. It's going to actually be a Yes project shortly. But it's just been an amazing journey for me to see over now 20 plus years of being a journalist who is a brown woman with a foreign sounding name and an immigrant background, that my lens, when I look at mass media and the stories that it tells about people like me, my lens is so different from that of a white journalist. I notice the biases. I see the filters. I can discern the white supremacist assumptions, the patriarchal assumptions. And it's been really, really powerful to be able to put all of that into words and put it into this book and really share everything that I've learned. Because what I've come to understand over the years is that we internalize through mass media the stories that we know about our communities and others' communities, even if we may never have met somebody from, say, a particular country, but we've seen, you know, one movie or television show or read a news story about somebody from that particular country, it shapes our opinion of that person or that community. And that then shapes our culture, which then informs policy. So we live in a white supremacist country, and white supremacist assumptions are all around us because of mass media. So that was what led me to writing this book and hopefully helping people after they read it, identify better racist narratives and really start on the journey and the project of replacing them with racial justice narratives.
Yes, and your book does a wonderful job of taking the readers through the Black Lives Matter movement, through the incidents in Ferguson with George Floyd as well, and you even have a reference to January 6th and sort of how that was portrayed differently by different media outlets, and it's really a wonderful collection of sort of 21st century movement on the left, and I really appreciate all your work, especially at KPFK, but also in this book. I think you did a really magnificent job, and I know you don't really touch on these particular topics on your book, but I wanted to get your opinion on how the Supreme Court decision on affirmative action recently and abortion especially is going to affect women of color and their ability to change the narrative.
You know, when I heard that Supreme Court decision on affirmative action, I wasn't surprised because of the way in which our court has really been taken over by conservatives and made to function as a tool of white supremacy and the right. And, you know, I wrote a story after the book came out, of course, about that decision, looking at how legacy admissions have remained in place while policies that enabled or furthered some measure of racial equity were dismantled. And legacy admissions are basically affirmative action for wealthy whites. And that's a way to look at how we, you know, that for a Supreme Court decision is rife with, especially the opinions written by the right-wing justices, it's rife with white supremacist narratives. And you're right, it is going to make a difference because our country is in the middle of this very, very messy evolution as we become a majority-minority nation. In just a few decades, people of color are going to be the majority altogether a majority. And that, you know, is in direct contrast with and is really struggling with our representatives in government. And the representation remains tightly in the control of wealthy white men, basically. And so the only way in which we've been able to sort of push back is through rising up, as the title of my book suggests, through the educational system, through every opportunity we can get. People of color, women of color, we have spoken out, we have used every tool at our disposal. And college admissions being skewed once more toward and in favor of wealthy white people will absolutely impact the ability of women of color to be full members of our democracy. The abortion decision is absolutely the same, is part of that. And one of the things that I really want to point out through my book is that the right has a story. They actually have a very coherent, broad, overarching framework for how they understand the world. And their story basically goes like this, that there were, you know, intrepid white settlers who discovered, quote unquote, this nation, lifted themselves up by their bootstraps, made something out of nothing, and created this amazing country, most powerful, richest country in the world. And now they're under attack because Black people want special treatment and undocumented immigrants are, you know, cutting in line, and they have to protect their power and protect what's theirs, what they rightfully earned. That's their story. And then within the framework of that story, the abortion decision makes sense because they see banning abortion as helping increase their numbers and controlling women. The affirmative action decision makes sense because they see that as keeping higher education within the control of wealthy white elites. All of those that fear, that the politics of fear that the right is based on is consistent with that big story. And so we, as everybody else, and I include in that people of color, progressive whites, white allies, everybody, how do we tell our story? And what is our story? And that is our big challenge. And in that story, what does education look like? What does affirmative action look like? What does reproductive justice look like? What does climate justice look like? In our story, our children have a future because we've solved the climate crisis. Our girls and people capable of getting pregnant have the choice of whether they want to reproduce or not and have children or not. In our future, there's joy. So we have to figure out how to tell that story, and it's antithetical to the story of fear and dominance on the right.
Your book, Rising Up, The Power of Narrative in Pursuing Racial Justice, does an amazing job of really disrobing Fox News and even the liberal sort of media that's been described by the right wing. And, you do a really incredible job of really helping shape how in the future and in the present we could be as sort of folks on the left can help change this narrative. In light of the recent writers and actors strike, I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about how that has also impacted the narrative, because your book does a great job of covering television and film and the impact that Hollywood also has on our narrative.
That's a great question, and in fact I was just at the Disney headquarters in Burbank a week ago, covering the writers and actors strike. There was a picket line there, and I went and I spoke to numerous writers and actors, and I was particularly interested in speaking with the writers because Hollywood is one of the most powerful narrative setting industries in the world. And sometimes I wonder if the workers in Hollywood realize how much power and influence they have. You know, it is an industry that has the ability to shape culture, not just in the US, but internationally. And it's done that for decades. And so I went to the picket and I asked some of the writers whether, you know, first of all, I asked them what their analysis was of the strike. And they were pretty impressively candid about seeing themselves as part of the victims of predatory capitalism, seeing their plight as having so much in common with the plight of workers everywhere who are struggling to get by and who are being, you know, pushed down and taken advantage of and exploited by big corporations. And then I asked them all, some of them, how do you plan on folding this experience that you are having, this intimate experience with being victimized by predatory capitalism, how do you enfold that into your scripts and your storytelling? And I have to say, it was interesting. Several of the people that I spoke to thought it was a really kind of, you know, oh, that's a good question, was their response, as if it hadn't occurred to them. And one of them even sort of tried to say to me, well, it has to be really important. It's important to do good storytelling first and foremost. How do you make it entertaining? And I'm like, you can make anything you want entertaining. That's your job as a creative. Look at Boots Riley. Look at the incredible work that he, as an outsider coming into the film and television industry, because he was, of course, an amazing independent musician based in Oakland, he has managed to change narratives, especially around race and the economy. His incredible groundbreaking film, Sorry to Bother You, a few years ago, and now his Amazon television miniseries, I'm a Virgo. And in that, he really challenges and upends notions and assumptions around capitalism and around race. And, you know, if he can make that entertaining, anybody can. He's not somebody who's necessarily spent, you know, decades entrenched within Hollywood. He doesn't have he didn't, at least until recently, used to have a foothold in the executive suites. He has pushed his way in to change the narratives around race and the economy. And he, to me, is a pioneer on this narrative setting front. So I hope that the writers and actors strike will really cause some self-reflection in this narrative setting industry about how they tell stories in a way that exposes the ugly underbelly of capitalism and of racial capitalism and racist capitalism.
Now, the United States does a wonderful job of promoting equality and tokenism, and I really appreciate how your frame of racial justice is about equity. I was wondering, you know, if history is written by the victors, how do we win in the pursuit of racial justice?
You know, there's a reason why there's a battle over history, right? The right wants to reduce everything to critical race theory and et cetera. But really what it is there's a massive reactionary pushback against the teaching of any kind of history that exposes the white supremacist origins of this nation, whether it's the genocide of Indigenous Americans or the enslavement of Africans and so many other things that came after that and continue to operate. That teaching of accurate history has an incredible ability to change minds. And I write about that in my book. And that is, its power is what the right is so terrified of. And, you know, I think about the way in which history has traditionally been written by, as you said, the victors. And then you have the work of people like Howard Zinn, the late Howard Zinn, who upended those notions and started looking at history from people's perspectives. And we have such a sea change in just the last few decades about how history is taught, how it's told, how it's shared. And I think that's how we win racial justice, is by becoming the historians ourselves, is by unrelentingly telling our stories. Our stories are what make us human. The complexity of our lives, of our humanity, the fact that we're fallible human beings, capable of greatness, capable of flawed behavior, capable of redemption, having, you know, be capable of being protagonists in our own stories. That narrative work and taking control of narratives is how we win racial justice. We cannot let others tell our stories. We have to tell them ourselves, and that's how we do it.
It was great to see you quote Dr. Oriel Maria Siu, who wrote the book Rebeldita, the Fearless. Obviously, she's an alum of Soul Rebel Radio, a founder of ours, and we all really appreciate and admire everything that you've done for Pacifica and for us as young sort of media makers trying to figure out and navigate how to sort of tell our own stories and you know, our own narratives. But I was wondering, what advice do you have for people of color, especially who are media makers and journalists, and as they navigate the system, if you will?
I'm so glad that you pointed out Dr. Oriel Siu's quotes in this. She's someone I've admired for many years. She's somebody who does narrative work with the fact that, you know, with her children's writing. I mean, in addition to the fact that she's an academic who, like, changes people's minds, teaches ethnic studies, has been a pioneer in pushing ethnic studies curricula in universities, she also writes children's books because she knows the power of narrative. And so adding to the canon of, growing canon of Black and brown writers of children's literature, she is changing stories, or the origin stories of this nation. And my advice to especially young people is to be as authentic as you can be and don't take no for an answer. There will be people who control the power will try to reduce you into a two-dimensional being. They will try to point out your accent, like I have had done to me, point out all of the reasons why you may not be right for this or that position in a media making or narrative setting industry. And you will get undermined at every turn, unfortunately. But find your allies, find your place. Don't give up on telling your stories. If a major institution refuses to allow you in the door, do it yourself. For years, I remember I would get told by friends of mine, oh, you should be on, you know, CNN or whatever, you know, you should be on NBC. And my response would be, they won't have me, not even necessarily because of how I look or who I am, but also because of my politics. They won't have me because I refuse to tone down my political views. And that's a really important piece of advice. You know, NPR and all of these outlets, they don't really as much anymore have a problem with allowing a few people of color on their airwaves and into their spaces. As long as you sound white, The politics are white, and there's a few exceptions, of course, now because more and more Black and brown people are breaking their way in. I was just interviewed by Deepa Fernandez on NPR's Here and Now. Deepa, former Pacifica journalist host, and a you know, former friend and colleague of mine, an amazing journalist who's managed to break into NPR. But by and large, these media outlets want people of color who adopt whiteness as a cloak and who will basically be a token person of color. And my advice is never compromise your ideals. It is, you know, your ideals, your values is what makes you you, and it's what allows you to represent your community. So if you want to be an authentic storyteller, tell those authentic stories without watering them down for the powers that be, because they will buy your soul, you know, if given the chance. So stay true, stay authentic, because those are the stories that we need to hear, the authentic, true ones. You know, people of color tend to be more progressive than whites because we've been on the receiving end of oppressive policies. And so our imaginations are more radical, and our demands and our needs and our asks are more radical. And we can't compromise that. We can't give up on that. We have to keep pushing because in the end, when we thrive, the entire country benefits. And our ultimate goal has to be the blossoming of a multiracial democracy. And we don't do that by compromising our ideas. So that's my advice. Long-winded response to your question.
You are listening to Soul Rebel Radio on 90.7 KPFK in Los Angeles. And we are with Sonali Kolhatkar, who wrote a book called Rising Up, The Power of Narrative in Pursuing Racial Justice. She's also the host and creator of Rising Up with Sonali, which is heard here on KPFK Weekly, as well as other work with Yes Magazine as a racial justice editor. Congratulations on all your wonderful work, your great book. I know that it will join the canon of the People's History of the Americas, Occupied America, and other great history books. So we look forward to more important work from you as a great writer and journalist. And I was wondering if you have any final thoughts or any upcoming events that you'd like to share with our audience, and they can go purchase your book in person and maybe hear a little bit about what you wrote.
Thank you so much, Miguel, for that. All of my book events are at risingupwithsonali.com. I've had several events in LA already, but I have one last one. Well, it may not be the last one, but the next one is Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. at Village Well Books and Coffee in Culver City. I'll be in conversation with the great Robin D.G. Kelly. That's Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. at Village Well Books. This weekend, I'm heading to Portland, Oregon to speak at Powell's Books, the largest independent bookstore in the nation. I'll also be heading to Seattle and then Houston, New York in October. And then I'll be in San Francisco at the Howard Zinn Book Fair. And, you know, I'm available for events. And I also want to make a shout out and ask, a shameless ask to your audience. You know, my publisher, City Lights Books, tells me that people really pay attention to Amazon reviews. And although people, you know, should buy my book from your local independent bookstore, maybe you can go and write a review of it on Amazon. And on the listing on Amazon, because that makes a huge difference. And I've been, you know, hoping to see some reviews on there. So please, please go and support an independent journalist published by an independent publisher, you know, telling the stories of people like you and I, Miguel, and also in the book, telling the story about independent media and how we have pushed corporate media to do the right thing. So thank you so much. RisingUpWithSonali.com again is our website. And thank you, Miguel. I wish Soul Rebel Radio all the success in the world.
Thank you so much. Have a good night, and we appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sonali and Miguel. We'd like to invite the KPFK audience to attend an upcoming event with Sonali. Sonali will celebrate the release of Rising Up at the Village Well Books and Cafe in Culver City on Thursday, August 17th. That's right. So this upcoming Thursday at 6 p.m., she will be in conversation with Robin D.G. Kelly. That day, we urge you to pay the bookstore a visit and go check out Sonali Kolhatkar. man, she will be doing it all the way live with her book right there, Rising Up. Incredible. So awesome to see how things just grow and evolve. Check her out and what she is doing. That's all the time that we have for today and this week. What an incredible show. Want to say thank you to so many of our contributors. Gary Alvarez and his film. We have Mr. Carlos Madrigal, who is doing his...